One man who definitely had the course of his life changed by becoming a dad was Glasgow's Gary Meikle.
I know your mum. She doesn't do it like that.
These days, he's a stand-up comic, and he actually won Best Newcomer at last year's Scottish Comedy Awards. Much of his material comes from years of being a single father to his daughter, Ainsley.
I was kind of given a bit of advice, and I was told that I should, being a single dad was a kind of unique selling point, and I should talk about that. So, yeah, that's when I started talking about the trials and tribulations of bringing up a teenage daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But I talk about the experiences, obviously, like she was 15 years old when I first let her bring a boy back to the house. She was 15, he was 49. I'm only
supposed to tell him, do
you? No, I'm only joking. He was 15 as well.
I remember they always say to me, if ever I got my dad's gig after it, how do you take that? How come you take it so well? But I just sit and laugh. I like the attention. Good or bad, I'll take it.
With Gary in the path to success with his comedy and Ainsley in a good job that she enjoys, things look no bad at all. But 21 years ago, when Ainsley was born, Gary was a homeless teenager working through the consequences of a one-night stand.
I met Ainsley's mum when I was about 17. Both of us were in different homeless hostels.
Now, before I let them tell the next wee bit of the story, I must point out that neither I nor the BBC have anything against people with red hair. You got that? This is only a joke. Right, okay, carry on.
I was like 17 years old. I turned up at the hospital with four of my mates that didn't work either. We were kind of
scared in case I came out ginger.
Yeah, I prayed for 9 months every night that wouldn't happen because her mum was ginger. I didn't know she was ginger. She had her hair dyed blonde at the time, in my defence. Our gran came out into the corridor after, and she told me, she said, like, it's a little girl, and I kind of fell back in the chair. And I was wearing a white Kappa tracksuit, which was quite popular at the time, and she handed Ainsley to me, and I've kind of held her, and I've looked at the midwife, and I've looked back at Ainsley, I've looked at the midwife again, and I said, you've just ruined my tracksuit. And the midwife kind of, she didn't know what to say, and I was like, look, I'm only joking. I actually should tell that on stage.
You should,
I should tell that on stage. I fell in love with Ainsley, not her mum. So we thought we would make a go of it, so I moved in with her mum. We lasted about 15 months. I left, and then within about 4 or 5 months after that, Ainsley went to live with her gran. I didn't really get on great with her gran, but she always made sure she was happy for me to take her every weekend. And I think from her granny's perspective as well, because she knew that Ainsley's mum wasn't going to be around, it was important, extremely important, that obviously I kept around and I was in her life as much as possible as well, which is why she was more than happy for me to obviously take her every weekend. And I'm sure she wanted
and she got to go to the bingo every weekend because I wasn't there.
This is true. And it was just really like that up until she was 14 and old enough to make up her own mind that she wanted to come and live with me.
Mm-hmm.
Born of a one-night stand of two people in homeless accommodation and then having her mum step out of involvement in her life, Ainsley reckons she's lucky not to have ended, in her words, a statistic. And while she stayed with her granny when she was small, she's very clear about what, or who, stopped that happening. The influence on her life of her dad.
My dad's been my best friend since day one, 100%. He's had to go through a lot of things that most mums have went through, and he's took it on the chin and helped me through becoming a woman and all that sort of gruesome stuff that I don't think he was ever thought he was going to have to do. He's
done
really
I remember
well.
That day.
Aye.
Yeah, I remember that day.
But he is definitely, like, he's the only one that's been consistent there for me throughout my life, and no, he's my best friend, and he's not going anywhere because he's only 17 years older than me, so he's not going to die soon, it's all right. The kind of background that me and my dad have both came from, we should have kind of went off rails, but in a sense, like, I've kind of broke the cycle. So I didn't want to turn around to be a narcissistic and end up a drug addict or in the jail or something like that. So I've tried my hardest, and I've helped with my dad. If it wasn't for my dad, then I probably would have, but
no, you wouldn't.
We've kind of pulled each other through it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think I've given her all the love and affection that she's needed over the years, and it's paid dividends because she's turned out to be an absolute little angel.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. I've never told her what to do, and I've always said to her, you do what
you
want.
He tries to tell me what to wear sometimes. He forgets he's not got one. Tells me what colours of lipstick I can and can't wear and stuff like that, what doesn't suit you, babes. All we do is laugh. I'm not joking. All we do in that house is laugh.
Yep, we never argue, do we?
Only when he doesn't put the wash in it.
I went through a period of about two months moaning at Ainsley for not doing the housework, but she just wouldn't do it.
It's just not going to happen. She's given up.
No, so I gave up. I'll give up asking.